Right. Well, I think the fortunate thing is people can't tell that you're naked from the waist down on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I work, too.
Right. Facebook t-shirt?
Yes.
And a smile.
Giant robot smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. It is our one-year anniversary, and we are in front of a live studio audience at RailsConf. Woo! Perfect. I am Ben Orenstein, and I am here today with tender love Aaron Patterson and Mr. Joe Ferris. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Pretty good.
How are you?
Wow. The energy.
I mean, the
amazing.
Energy.
It's the podcast-iversary. You got to match my intro. How are you guys doing?
Wait, are we supposed to be excited now?
You told me not to scream.
Am I supposed to, is now the time I scream? I'm doing great.
There
How are you?
I'm so excited. This is episode 52, 1 year from the start date.
Wow, how does that feel? You're a year old.
It feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is your second time.
Yes, it's my second time. It is my second time on this podcast. Yes.
You're in a rare repeat group.
Whoa.
Along with Joe. Joe is also a multi.
Wow. That's impressive.
We have jackets.
Yeah, he's going to tell you about the club that you're in now and where it meets and all that.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to belong to a club.
Huh. Well, there you go.
I don't belong to any.
None?
No, none. Well, except for the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Got it. And some core teams here and there.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's that.
Those are clubbish.
Are they? Is that a club? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, maybe it's a club, but it's like a painful club. It's not one I want to think about.
Oh, no.
It's more exciting to talk about the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. There's a newsletter. You get to drink.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Is that what defines the club to you?
I'm sorry. No. Because when you're on the Rails core team, you also have to drink. Too. But that's to get through the day.
Right, sure.
That's just to get through the day.
That's for security issues,
yes.
Purely.
The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society is drinking for fun.
I suppose
the other one is drinking to survive.
Yes. Got it. Did you decide on what your keynote is going to be about?
How many hours do I have left?
It's tomorrow. You're like 29.
Yeah, I'm up to 160 slides, and I haven't put any slides of cats yet, so I'm not sure where we'll be tomorrow. I'm going to talk about new stuff in Rails 4. Actually, this is weird. None of the keynote speakers have talked about Rails 4 at all. It's like nothing. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk about Rails 4. I'm going to talk about security.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about like open source in general.
You have stumbled onto the right podcast because I have questions about Rails 4 for you.
Oh, okay.
So you can get like a pre-warm up.
Okay. We'll see how many times I can say I don't know in one podcast.
Well, I don't know what our current record of that is, but this is the anniversary, so I'm hoping we break some new ground here. So these aren't really so much questions as topics. I just want to hear about. So maybe you can.
Okay.
I bet you
okay.
can elucidate. Okay. So observers got pulled out. Active record observers are no more, or they're no more in the core.
Yeah, I can't. I was looking for them, but I cannot find the observers anymore. They're difficult to observe.
I observed what you did there.
Oh. Oh man, we have a laugh track. This is beautiful. this is usually just my jokes falling over flat, and then there's sort of silence. But now we have
the punning podcast.
God.
Yeah, I guess they did get removed. Does anybody use those?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never used them.
Really?
Actually, that's not true. I have used them before, and then I regretted using them, and now I don't use them anymore, so...
That's kind of how I feel about callbacks.
Oh, dude. Don't get me started on those. Yeah.
Can we get those next on the chopping block?
You know, I'd actually like to. That'd be really nice for 4.1, but, like... I don't want to just wholesale remove them because I'd feel bad about people who, like, it breaks stuff for them, but they should be removed. I mean, use super, seriously.
Yeah. We got you on record there.
Yes, yes. Super is super.
Joe, are you down with this?
Let me just say that I said that 5 years ago at RailsConf, and everybody laughed at me. They thought I was joking.
Oh, Well, it is pretty funny.
It's funny now. You also talked about dumb view templates, right? Like backbone style
Oh, right, yeah. DHH inspired me with his keynote to dig up a four-year-old project I had about transforming raw HTML on the server. I don't know if you ever worked with XSLT. It was
a
nightmarish XML thing that everybody hated but me. Nah, I want to bring that power to Ruby. It's like XSLT and jQuery combined.
So I've actually done metaprogramming with XSLT. I don't know if you know this. So the way you
we
do,
know everything about you.
Let me explain to you the way that you do metaprogramming with XSLT. You'll appreciate this as a fellow XSLT enthusiast.
There's another club for you. By the way,
I think there are two people in that club.
That's a club.
We also drink for survival.
So you know that a programming language can be parsed and represented as an ASD, which is just a tree, right? XML documents are also just
a tree.
Yes, exactly, which means that you can do transformations on trees with these XSLT documents. So theoretically, what one could do is translate your code into a tree of XML and then do XSLT translations on that. So basically, that's how I enterprise up my code, metaprogram, convert to XML, metaprogram with XSLT, and then that generates another XML document, and then we go back into Ruby code, eval that, and we're on our way.
Is that enterprise. What the asset pipeline is?
Yes.
Okay. I never really understood it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's super enterprise. Yeah, it's just the asset pipeline is just a series of XSLT transformations.
Through a series of tubes.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Similar to the internet, you know.
You heard it here first. You have a Facebook shirt on.
I do.
Are you a supporter?
I used to work there.
Did you?
Well, I went there and worked for a day.
Okay.
That's another club.
Yeah, they gave me a t-shirt. So.
Okay. So you're official enough to wear the swag.
Yeah, it was interesting. I went to the Facebook campus, and they have a really big campus. It's really nice. And I went to a hackathon, and they hacked a lot, but there was like a lot of techno music during the hackathon, and like I must be too old. Like I just can't think when there is like when they're waiting, what is it? When they're waiting for the drop, like, I just can't do that.
Oh, the beat drop.
The wub. What is that stuff? The kids are listening to.
Yeah, dubstep.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're just I can't do it.
Can't do it.
Nope. Can't do it. So I worked there for a little bit, but they have great snacks.
Are there certain genres of music you can't go to? Are you a music while coding person?
It depends. I mean, it really depends. Like, typically when I'm programming, I listen to Barry White.
True story? You sure?
Okay, maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe I don't listen to Barry White. I do listen to music.
Joe's voice reminds me of Barry White sometimes.
I think that's a compliment.
It is. Can you give me like a, aw, yeah.
Maybe later.
Okay. There's an audience. It's out of the locker. So you worked at Facebook for a day.
Well, okay. Maybe it was 3 days. I worked with a bunch of students. I have students.
Okay.
So.
What are you teaching them? Or what did you teach them?
Teach is such a strong word.
What did you bludgeon them with?
So, well, basically, I'm working on a program. I'm working with a bunch of students from a few different universities, Stanford, Cornell, MIT, University of Helsinki, University of Tokyo, and University of Sichuan. I think that's all of them. I think. Anyway, so basically, there was a professor from Stanford who got in touch with me and said, he's a CS professor, and he said, I teach CS, but I'm afraid that we're teaching all of our students theory. We're not teaching them how to work in the real world, so I'm getting in touch with a bunch of open source people, and I want to give you students to work on stuff.
Cool.
And he's like, do you want students? And I was like, yeah, sure, sounds good.
So you do like kind of Google Summer of Code
thing. Yeah, it's basically like Google Summer of Code, except that the students are doing it for credit and not for money.
Got it.
And I get to boss them around.
Mm. How's it going?
Um, It's going well. It's just that I have 14 students, and me divided by 14 is basically zero. I'm an integer. This is integer division here.
And you don't divide evenly into 14?
Nope, I don't, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
So my time is basically zero.
You come off a little bit as maybe someone who would not enjoy managing people. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, well, managing these students is really great. They're really great. They're all very smart. It's just that the main problem for me is that they get stuff done faster than I can feed them things. So I'm like, looking through the issues, I'm like, okay, do this. And then they're like, okay, it's done. Oh, crap. I don't know what I want you to do next. So,
gotcha.
But it's good.
Maybe have them do some XSLT?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're old enough for that. I mean, that's like, I get the stare. You can tell people who've done XSLT, they get the stare. It's a like 100-yard stare or whatever.
They're shells of humans.
Yes.
I like to call it the sparkle.
You're down with this. You're pro XSLT, aren't you?
Yeah, everybody laughs like I'm kidding, but I loved that language. It was so much fun.
I see what you did there. I get it.
From whence the love, Joe?
Why? It's just awesome. Like, everybody likes to hate on XML now. Mm. There's a lot of cool stuff about XML. We had schemas and that hellish language to transform it into other versions, and then you could have like recursion and metaprogramming in there.
And namespaces.
Oh, yeah. Those were great. Give me some more namespaces. We need more namespaces.
Can we get that in Ruby? Are we going to do this? We can do this proper someday.
So I worked on an XML library, and I'm reading all the XML specs, reading, understanding namespaces, because so many people have problems with namespaces, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know how to deal with this in my XPath, blah, blah, blah. And so I wrote all these tutorials about namespaces, and I finally met, like, the first time I met Tim Bray, who is basically the father of XML, right? I met him, and I was like, hey, I worked on this thing. He's like, yeah, I've used your library. And I was like, yeah, man, namespaces. And he's like, yeah, turns out we didn't really need those. And I'm like, oh, dude, I wasted so much time reading all that stuff. Why do you tell me this?
I really enjoy in Nokogiri, there's a method called ignore namespaces.
Yep.
But the best part of the documentation, I don't remember exactly what it says, but it says something about, like, you should use this if you don't need or understand namespaces.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That's so exactly. Honest.
It's true. It's true. I use that method, though, I have to admit.
Hmm.
And I do understand namespaces.
Oh, man. Do you have any other favorite methods?
Favorite methods?
That's an open question.
Yeah, 42.
Okay.
I like that one.
Accessing the Reddit?
Yep. That's a good one. I can't think of any more off the top of my head. My favorite methods are the ones that work.
It's edgy.
I know that might be a controversial opinion.
Yeah. This is RailsConf, man.
Yeah, I know. You know, methods that work.
Yeah. So what, Joe, your super favorite method has to be super, right?
That's not a method.
That's,
but cool.
Well, you know. It looks like one. I'm happy pretending it is. We're going to edit that out so it doesn't sound like I don't know that super isn't a method. It's going to be awesome.
That'll be our podcast.
This is my podcast. I'm going to sound smart.
Are there words that you would like me to say so that you can slice and dice them and put them together? Okay.
Go ahead.
No. What were are there words?
No.
Okay.
Shout it though.
Asset pipeline. Turbo links. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, no.
Recursion.
Recursion.
More excited.
Recursion.
Confused.
Confused.
No. That was a direct. That was an artistic direction. I want recursion as if...
recursion?
Offended.
Offended.
No!
Am I doing it wrong?
You're fired. Trolling.
I don't know radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
I can write this out in a tree for you, maybe.
Then where
you can
am I?
Oh, God. Aaron doesn't know where he is again.
Get off my lawn.
Where's your handler? Doesn't somebody come and usually take you to the next keynote you need to be at?
No, no.
Put you in front of a keyboard so you stop crying.
Yehuda's at the booth.
We should have brought him. I see you're playing with some Scheme these days.
I am, yes. I'm scheming.
Yeah. What you doing? It's like YAML parsers or something?
Yeah, that's mainly for practice. I'm scheming. I'm planning lots of schemes for fun, basically.
Mm. What is the practice? What are you trying to get better at?
Just, I guess, functional programming in general, basically. Mm. Also, so I found this scheme. It's called Chicken Scheme, and you should check it out. It's really awesome, and I'll tell you why I like it.
Mm.
I like it because it is a practical scheme. So one of the things I do, like compared with, say, Racket, is when you do, like, let's say you divide two numbers, Racket won't actually calculate a floating point value for you. It gives you like a promise, like, okay, I'll calculate this later. Mm-hmm. Where Chicken Scheme's like, hey, we're a C-based scheme. Boom, you get a float. It's not accurate. Deal with it. And then the sunglasses drop down.
Functional sunglasses?
Yeah, it's like, nope, deal with it. Float. Boom. So I like that. And it's also very fast.
Hmm.
So that's another thing I didn't like about programming Scheme with Racket is it's not the quickest. And then also, since it's C-based, writing C extensions is very easy for it. And then also, the community is really nice. I can pop into IRC and ask the most ridiculous, stupid questions. And they're like, okay, we'll help you out with that.
Hmm.
Like, the other day, one guy's like, well, I was like, how do I refactor this? And one guy's like, oh, you should just use a macro. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that.
Pretend for a minute yeah, that I didn't know what macros were.
Yes, exactly. And they're like, oh, okay, we can help you with that. So they taught me how to do all that stuff. So it's like, it's a very nice community. Oh, and everything is pun-based.
Oh, God.
And that's one of my favorite things in the world.
I was with you until this moment.
Okay, so Chicken Scheme, right, is Chicken Scheme, and they have things that are similar to gems, except that they are eggs. Right? See, so you install
Wrong.
Eggs.
Wrong.
You install eggs.
Do you upvote pun threads on Reddit?
Oh, yeah.
God. I learned how to program just so I could make a bot that downvoted everybody in the Reddit pun thread and everything they ever submitted.
Wow, that must be some amazing technology to detect puns.
It uses Nokogiri.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah.
So they also have... Oh, they have a... So whenever you run the test or package your egg, you use a tool called Salmonella.
Yeah.
I mean, these are some quality puns here. Like,
yep.
It's good stuff.
Those are as good as puns get, which is not very good.
This is like the opposite experience I've been having with LaTeX. I've been learning a lot of LaTeX lately because we're writing a book, and every once in a while somebody's like, do you think you could put like a gray background on that? And I'm like, I really don't know. I don't know if that's even possible. And if you ask a question there, they're like, you're an idiot and know nothing about typesetting. Why don't you get a degree first? And then when you find the library names, like if you're looking for a library about color, it's probably called color.
They're literal people in the LaTeX world.
Yeah.
They refer you to Donald Knuth frequently. Like, we can't solve that. You need to go talk to the man.
Talk to the Donald.
Yep. Yeah, Scheme is good. I like it better than LaTeX.
What made you? What got you interested in learning or practicing your functional chops?
Mainly. Well, I just do it for fun. Like mainly to take a break from real life. Like, I don't know. Like, programming is my hobby. I love programming just for fun, and I wanted to take a break from doing Ruby in my spare time. So I wanted to do like. It's kind of tough. You do Ruby all day, and then you also do it in your spare time. And I'm like, well, you know, I should probably take a break from this and like look at some other things. And so I just picked Scheme. I went through SICP
mm-hmm.
and did all the exercises there, and that was pretty interesting. But
all the exercises?
All of the exercises.
Wow.
Yes. I did all of them, including writing a meta circular interpreter.
Wow.
And it totally sucked, but I did it.
And now you can say you've done it.
Yeah, I can say that I've done it. It's not very useful.
But was the exercise in general of going through those exercises good? The exercise of exercises?
my biceps are the same size.
Oh. Bummer.
Yeah, it is. You don't build up very many muscles doing those exercises.
Yeah.
I don't know. My fingers are doing pretty good.
Okay.
You know, I can type well.
Good.
But...
You just love them puns.
Yes, I do.
You won't get off that thread. Downvoted.
Nope. I'll keep tugging that thread.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I hear Rails 4 is thread safe.
But is it pun thread safe?
Oh, God. Nothing is safe for me in a pun thread.
Yes, Rails 4 is thread safe.
Yeah, that's exciting. Were you involved in that? Is that...
yeah, I mean, I was involved in it for... I don't know what that means. I guess it depends on what you mean by involved with that. I fixed the bugs.
Okay.
Because sure. The thing is, like, okay, this seems crazy to me. Like, why would you have... Why would you have a thread-safe mode? Okay? Let's just think about that for a minute. Why would there be a mode where your code is thread-safe versus not thread-safe?
Like, why would you enable the other way?
Why wouldn't you just always make it thread-safe? Like, it doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, no, I want to run into problems. No. Concurrency issues? That's how, sign me up. So, as far as I'm concerned, like, if you didn't have thread-safe enabled, any concurrency issues were a bug. So if you ran into concurrency issues, it's a bug. So as far as involvement in thread safety is concerned, I fixed bugs. Mm. So that is what I did. There was no, like, especially once I determined and could prove that being thread safe versus not thread safe, there was no performance difference. Mm. Then it was like, okay, time to remove this stupid thing. Mm. Let's get rid of it. So yeah, maybe I can do that with callbacks.
Ooh. That's a dream.
Yeah. I'd love to get rid of those callbacks. Do you use callbacks?
I have kind of stopped.
Do you use callbacks?
I use them for persistence-related things, just because when I try to use super, it doesn't tend to turn out that super.
If you try to use super and it doesn't turn out super, then you should file a bug.
I might consider doing that.
Seriously. The key to getting rid of these callbacks is for us to make sure that super works right. And then we can be like, okay, no, just use super, do it right. And then we can delete all these callbacks.
Right. Well, I think the tricky part is that the interface was designed in the era of callbacks when we all thought it was a good idea.
Well, they're all async, like Node.
That would be splendid. But...
We actually had Node in Active Record before Node existed.
Whoa.
You just didn't know it. Yeah, callbacks, man.
Callbacks. There they are. Yeah. Promises.
Yep.
But I think the issue is that all the different methods for updating things, like update attributes, there's no like single place to override. Because if you subclass Active Record as kids do, then you just inherit like 4,000 methods.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them save. So if you want to be like, anytime somebody saves this record, I want to, you know, do something else, some other fun persistent side effect with a cache or nifty trinkets. And you can't just override save, right? Like, there are a bunch of other ways to do that. And some of them call save and some of them don't. And then there's that weird, like, transaction soup that goes on with modules and mix-ins. So I mostly just confused myself with the debugger when I tried to override methods from Active Record.
I'm confused now. I have no idea what's going on. I just got lost in some callbacks.
You're not under attack.
Oh,
this is
no,
a safe
no.
Place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll just sprinkle some JavaScript on that. It'll be fine.
Single page apps.
Is anybody going to get that reference, like, when this thing comes out? Is that going to make sense?
It's a RailsConf joke. You had to be here. That's okay.
Sprinkle some JavaScript.
We can set this as a podcast dependency, and then you'll have to attend RailsConf before you can listen to it.
Just watch Yehuda's talk and then rewind this a little ways and replay.
Yeah.
And you'll get it.
There it is.
It'll be hilarious. Trust me.
It'll be okay.
I'm trying to think up some puns quickly.
So you know, do you have an answer for Joe? Are you going to solve his super problem?
That would be super.
I think we've reached our quota for that particular pun.
Ah, yeah. Crap. Yeah, well, okay. Yes, file a bug. We want to fix it. I want to get rid of callbacks.
Okay.
Hopefully.
There it is. Yep. Call to action from the man.
Yes. Yes. It's actually crazy. If you go through and read this code, so there's, okay. So if you read how these callbacks get defined, there are conditionals which define conditionals dynamically. So we totally have a yo-dog situation going on where it's like, yo, dog, I heard you like conditionals, so I'm going to put conditionals in your conditionals so that you can, I have no idea, call back when you call back, something like that. I don't know. It's terrible. You go look at this generated code, and you're like, where did all these conditionals come from? Why are they dynamic? And then you go track it back. Oh, those conditionals are based on other conditionals. Oh, no. I don't even know what's going on. So, yeah, please, just, we got to get rid of those. I actually think it would help with performance, too. Performance and memory consumption, for sure. Every time we eval that code, we consume more memory, and it sucks.
I think my favorite piece of metaprogramming in Rails is in the router, because it, like, I think it's justified, or at least I don't know of a better way to do it, but it sort of, like, redefines the methods as they're used, at least in development mode.
Yeah.
So, like, a method will be there, and then you find the definition, and then you realize it's not getting called, and that's because that method actually has a side effect of redefining itself.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you wrote the router.
No.
Didn't you? You rewrote it at least once.
No.
I think that was you.
No. You're talking about the helpers. I rewrote the part that actually takes the URL string and figures out what controller to go to. excuse me, but there's a different API on top of that that is also the router that defines all of the helpers and whatnot, which display the links in the page. So we have a router and then a router on top of the router. I wrote the sub router, and I'm trying to get rid of, like, I'm trying to fix the super router, which is the one you're talking about.
I get it. This is a Russian doll router.
Yes, it's a Russian doll router.
Got it.
Yes.
That's Rails 5, right?
Yes, Russian doll routing.
Awesome.
Yes. Actually, it's pretty exciting. Now that we've solved caching, I'm really excited to announce that we have also solved the halting problem. And in Rails 4.0, there will be a halting ? method. You can pass some code to that. It'll tell you whether or not that code halts.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. We're making extremely good progress in the field of computer science, like breaking barriers. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, just some great work going on here.
It's exciting. So you're not totally sold on the complete obliteration of the caching issue?
No. No.
You're under oath, may I remind you?
No.
Being recorded.
I'm not. No, I mean, it's great. The caching is not solved. It's definitely not solved. But the stuff, like, so it's kind of weird that it's called Russian doll caching. I think, like, whenever these new features, we get new features added into Rails, and they have, like, these names, like Russian doll caching. And it sounds fancy, but it's much fancier than it actually is. It's just all it is is a composite cache key. It's literally just a cache key that's composite, and the cache key knows how it was built.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is say, like, oh, if anything in this chain of composition is changed, then we just recalculate that cache key. Where Russian doll name came from, I don't know. Like, I think there's a marketing department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marketing helps.
Yep. There's a marketing department that I don't have, so none of my features have cool names.
So to you, it's more like a USSR doll caching. Sort of.
If it were up to me, it would be called composite key with dependency caching, and that would not sound awesome.
Yeah,
you wouldn't give it like a chicken pun.
Ooh.
No, it's not Scheme, so no, I can't
no
do
fun
that.
To be had.
No, if give I was in Scheme, I'd do it. I'd do it. Yeah. Yeah. So what are you up to?
I'm hanging. This is my sixth podcast of the conference.
Sixth podcast of the conference?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've been doing 2 a day since we got here. You're the last one.
Oh, wow.
And our anniversary.
Anniversary.
Yeah, so.
So tell me about, what are the highlights of this podcast over the years? Are you going to have, like, oh, so man. Are you going to have, like, a...
We need to play some music that's, like, you know, sounds, like, retrospective kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, exactly. Are you going to have, like, the best parts of each, you know?
Remember when we yes. had that guy.
And then you have to do, like, the Oscars where they... Like, honor the people that died.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the different moments in podcasting through the years.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a big production.
It does. We're not into that.
Oh, well, I mean, you look really fancy in your tuxedo. Like, I didn't know I was supposed to dress up for this thing.
Yeah.
Nobody told me it was the 1 year anniversary. I would have dressed up.
Right. Well, I think the fortunate thing is people can't tell that you're naked from the waist down on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I work too.
Right. Facebook t-shirt.
Yes.
And a smile.
It was actually kind of hard for me when I was working at Facebook.
Because you didn't have the t-shirt yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just getting started.
Yeah, I showed up naked. They weren't super happy about that. I was running through the campus yelling, Zuckerberg!
Yeah, well, and they're like, Rubyists.
Yeah, actually, when I was at the... Okay, you won't appreciate this, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway.
Tell me your pun joke.
Yep, exactly. So I'm working at Facebook, right? And the
NBD.
Yep, the Facebook people, they had Facebook people there giving us a tour. And I was like, I asked the Facebook people, I'm like, so where is the Facebook? Where is the book?
Wow.
And they're like... I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, man. And I tried it with like 10 different people. Nobody got it. It was terrible. Terrible.
That's surprising. That joke didn't go over better. I can tell the audience here really liked it.
Facebook. They gave me a moleskin that said Facebook on it. So that's my Facebook.
Moleskin or moleskina?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it moleskin? I thought it was moleskin. It's made from the skin of moles, right?
It's not.
Why would they call it a moleskin then?
Because they don't. They call it moleskina.
Really?
I don't know. I have this in my head. And I don't know if this is just complete fabrication, but every time I see that word, I'm like, is that... Is
well, M-O... So I remember my phonics from school.
Well...
The E makes the O long. Moleskin. Oh, now you're Googling it.
The Wi-Fi.
This isn't fair. This isn't fair. You
Wi-Fi.
Can't do that.
We can't... Anyway, it's not important.
Yeah,
but that's cool.
So where are you staying?
Crown Plaza? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fancy.
It is a very suggestive elevator.
It does?
The elevator talks.
Oh, that's true.
The voice that the it voice uses in the elevator. Is not appropriate.
Lobby.
It says, like, second floor.
Yeah. Mm. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Going down.
So I prepped all these, like, serious... questions.
I'm staying at a French boutique hotel.
Oh
yeah, the Double Tre. You may have heard of this. It's great place.
Oh, the Double Tre.
No, I think that's pronounced moleskin.
Nice.
You know, I'm basically reusing all my puns that I'm going to do at my talk. So,
oh,
I'm glad this is getting published after
that's
my
right.
talk.
Yeah, you have a window.
Yeah,
an embargo date. Perfect.
So, what are your serious questions? Let's get serious.
You know, I have these serious, but they feel out of place now.
Let's get serious. Do it.
All right. Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you struggled with burnout?
Yeah. Yep, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about this in my keynote a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I struggle with burnout for sure. Releasing Rails sucks. So, it's basically because, like, something will break, and then, like, you're the guy that released it, so you're the guy we get to complain to when something breaks. And then also you have stuff like when security issues come in, you're like, oh my God, I got to fix that. And then you also get to be the bearer of bad news, and that's not very fun.
Mm.
So like, I get to send out an email. It's like, hey guys, you're going to laugh when you hear this. Trust me, you're going to laugh. Just believe me. Now there's this bug. And... It lets people run any code they want to on your web server. I know. It's funny. No, I know. So you have to send out emails like that, and I mean that is not super fun.
Yeah, you seem to take a lot of personal responsibility on for that stuff.
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, like I think it's because I don't know. The reason I like to work on Rails is because I want to have a job where I can help as many people as possible, right? And like I'm good at programming, so as far as I could tell, like this is the best way that I can help as many people as possible is work on a popular open source project that people can use and people can benefit from. Mm. So like that's basically what motivates me to keep working on it. Is I know like even though there's this crappy stuff or even though people complain, like the number of people who I'm actually helping with this, you know, doing this stuff is far greater than the people who are complaining. So it's like, it's fine.
Mm.
I mean, I use that to mentally like make sure I don't, you know, kill myself or something.
Yeah.
Also, I have a really good team that I can swear a lot in front of and they don't get like that mad at me. You should see the campfire transcripts. It's like, this sucks. Ah, who did this? Ah. And then a few minutes later, oh, it was me. sorry, guys. And fortunately, everybody's pretty patient with me. They're like, I think they know, just wait about 10 minutes, and then there'll be the message, oh, it was my fault. Sorry, everybody. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was your fault.
That's good.
So that helps.
Yeah. Your worst code is the stuff that, like, you wrote yourself about a year ago.
Yep. So, oh, yeah.
So that was the painful stuff.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
Hmm. We've been talking a lot this week. My theme, if anything, has been sort of this idea of imposter syndrome. Are you familiar with this idea?
Oh, yes.
Affect you?
Oh,
experienced
absolutely.
It personally?
Definitely.
I remember watching your first play-by-play that you put out, and I remember you, like, there's a point where you forget something, and you're like, I'm sorry, I have to go look at the code for this. Like, I don't remember how this is. Yep. And I remember thinking, like, of course, that's what everybody goes and looks up things. Everyone, like, you know, forgets the API and has to check a reference. But, like, I could just kind of see it in your head that, like, you thought that people should just know how to do that, or, like, maybe other people don't have this thing.
No, it's like, I guess basically the reason I did that, or I mean, the reason I was kind of embarrassed about that is I'm on the freaking Rails core team. I probably ought to know most of the APIs, but I can't, like, I just can't keep that much stuff in my head. My attention span is incredibly short. I'm surprised I've been able to hold a conversation this long. but yeah, I have to look all that stuff up, and I definitely get imposter syndrome, especially doing security stuff, because I'm not a security person. Mm-hmm. I don't think about this stuff. I have no idea. I don't, like, it's difficult. I don't hack people's websites. I have no idea. Like, why would I think about this stuff? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. I get it. I do get that, but I think everybody does. So, yep. You know.
So you just deal with it and keep yep. going.
Yeah, keep going. I mean, everybody gets that feeling, and you just keep going. So
mm-hmm.
It's just a phobia, I think.
Are you a little uncomfortable with your level of sort of Ruby notoriety and fame?
No, I'm not uncomfortable with it. I'm not uncomfortable with it, but it really helps to just be honest with people in order to deal with it. Like, because like I'm really bad at remembering people's names. It's really terrible, and so I feel insanely embarrassed. Like, I feel insanely embarrassed when I don't remember somebody's name. And I always have to just be like, I'm not good at names. Please tell me your name again. And most people are pretty understanding about that, because I think it happens with everybody. Like,
totally.
You forget people's names, but I do my best. Like, I do my best to remember. Like, I do mental exercises, like, repeat people's names. Like,
yeah.
Do it. Because it's important to me. Like,
I've considered writing something that just helps me remember people's names that I meet at conferences. I have this exact same problem.
Well, you meet so many people. You meet tons of awesome people. You meet tons of awesome people, and you want to run into them again and keep in touch with them. So, like, it's really important to remember this stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, I meet a lot of people, so it gets hard. So an app like that would be awesome.
Right. Okay.
Actually, you know, okay, I have a good suggestion for doing this. This is one of my tricks.
Can't wait.
I'm going to share a trick. What you do is you take a picture with the person, and you ask them for their Twitter name. So you do and then you tweet it with the Ruby Friends hashtag. So then,
that's right. I remember this.
Yes,
this
and then you'll meme. Be able to remember that in your Twitter stream, and when you look at the Ruby Friends website, and it'll help you remember the person's name. So that's one of my tricks.
Gotcha. Okay.
What if everybody had cards, and you could put your name on your card, and when you met somebody, you could trade them.
I've heard of this. Isn't this?
That would never work.
This is called Pokemon, right?
Right. Magic the Gathering, I think.
Yes, Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
Actually, they do this in Japan, you know.
Trade Pokemon cards?
Yes. Yes. Big time.
I mean, that's fine and all, but, like, you know, it's the they walk up to you in a hallway 7 months later, like, oh, I met you at Ruby Nation. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yep. What did I do?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so my boss. Okay. I worked at a company. My first programming job was at a car dealership. It's called, I don't know if I should say the name.
It's an interesting name.
We'll beep it out.
It's called I used to work there.
Yep.
And that was my first programming job, and I was a Perl programmer, and then I quit that job and moved to Washington. And many, you know, fast forward, like, so somebody took my job there. Fast forward many years later, I'm a Ruby programmer. I'm giving a talk at some conference, and this guy comes up to me, and he says, hey, did you used to work at and I'm like, oh my God. Like, how did you know? Because I don't tell anybody. Like, I don't tell anybody this. I'm like, how did you know? And he's like, I took over your job. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I just want to say hi. And actually, he's my boss now. So.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Wow.
He is now my boss. So.
Huh.
It's funny how things like
so
that
so he leapfrogged ahead of you.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man. What a jerk.
Well, he's hired me to be an open source programmer full-time, so
okay,
I can't
so
say that.
Fine.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you needed an app for this, and I was like, there's no app for going back and fixing up the old work you did that you're embarrassed by.
Oh, no.
I thought we were still on a thread.
Oh, man.
But wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Just some sort of gem cleanup, which erases all traces of you having been on the project.
Yeah, man, I'm a terrible programmer. Seriously, like,
how is that imposter syndrome going over there?
No, this is not imposter. This is a proven fact.
Okay,
there's no imposter syndrome going on here. This is known.
Okay, it is known.
Yeah.
You seemed a lot calmer when you were recording your second play-by-play with Corey.
Yeah, it's easier to do. It's easier to pair program.
Sure.
So I was pair programming with Corey, and actually, it may have helped. Maybe I was calmer since I had only had about 3 hours of sleep. It was the day, like, we had just arrived in Australia. We were going to RubyConf Australia, and we literally just arrived that day.
Mm.
And Jeffrey's like, "Hey, let's do play by play." We're like, "Okay."
Mm-hmm.
So then we did it, and actually, I don't think I felt very calm because the way we had it set up was. It was two laptops next to each other, so Corey had his. His was the master laptop, and mine was actually VNC'd over to his.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, everything's
laggy. Yeah, you kept...
Like, everything's laggy, and then his, like, Vim setup was different than mine.
Right.
And I kept, like...
You kept hitting Control-Z.
Yeah, well, I kept assuming... So, when I'm in a foreign land, we'll call that, a foreign environment... I immediately assume, for some reason, that Vim is in the terminal.
Right.
Because it's on this... I'm on a remote system. I think that's what my brain does. It's like, I'm on a remote system. This has to be in a terminal. Control-Z. No, it doesn't work.
Laughs
it doesn't
at
work that way, yeah. So...
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that was fun though. I like pair programming.
My favorite thing was your contributions of you would get some. You'd a 5 minutes would go by and you would get something done. You go, oh my god, commit! Oh please commit! Please commit yes. right now!
It makes me insanely nervous when something's not committed. Like yeah, especially it was when obvious. The tests are passing. I'm like, look, we gotta commit this. Look, dude.
And your argument was like, I'm going to get in there and mess it up, and I will find a way to delete all of it.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I'm on somebody else's computer. I know I'm going to hit, like, I don't know, like, something.
Vim is just like that, though. You accidentally typo, and then suddenly everything's gone, and it's replaced with something you wrote last week. It's like, what? How did this happen?
My favorite is Vim with caps lock on.
Yes.
If you go on somebody's machine, they actually have caps lock set to caps lock.
Yes. Which is, that's exactly what I was going to mention. Is I remap, so my caps lock is control. I just remap caps lock to control, and then I'm like on somebody else's machine, and I hit it, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? Ah, that light is on. Ah, crap. Undo.
That would be such a good, like, trolling thing to write a little script that turns on caps lock for 1 second per minute at random intervals.
So
that'd be brutal.
So I was working with a guy. All right. I worked with a guy who he started using Vim. I got him to start using Vim, and he's using it, and I'm like, dude, you need to stop using the arrow keys. He's like, no, I'm using the arrow keys. He kept using the arrow keys. I'm like, you need to stop using it, and he wouldn't stop. And I quit that job.
Because of that?
No, not because of that. But maybe like a day before I was leaving, he was away from his computer, so I changed his VimRC so that when he hit the arrow keys, it would rickroll him. But the best part was that he didn't quit his Vim, so he wouldn't quit Vim, so that was fine. Like, you know, he didn't quit Vim, and he didn't quit Vim for a week until after I left, so he didn't reload his VimRC, right? So it was like this time bomb trolling on his machine. Like, maybe a week later or so, I'd actually forgotten that I did it. A week later, he IMs me, he's like, you got me. And I was like, yes, I remember what I did. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
I think he still uses the arrow keys, though.
We have, I think in the thoughtbot.dot files, this is at least used to be true. I'm not sure if it still is true. There's remapping of all the arrow keys to, like, use J, use K, use L. And the comment of that section is, get off my lawn.
I think that was you.
That's a J. Ferris original.
You need to make it so it'll do, like, you can use it, it's just slower. So you hit down, like, you hit down, but it takes, like
sleep one and then move.
And then move, yeah, exactly.
That's actually, somebody asked me for advice on how to get faster at Vim, and I told them, turn your key repeat way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when you hold up, you'll be like, oh, this sucks. I have to find a better way to move.
How do you guys move up and down? Like, what do you do?
Joe has recently converted me to relative number. Which I'm sort of all about now.
Relative number? What's that? Tell me about
it
that.
It means that wherever your cursor is line zero.
Okay.
And it counts up from there in both directions.
Oh.
So if I want to go, I can see, like, here, I can see if I want to go up to, like, 12 lines above here, I mm-hmm. can type 12J
okay.
and jump right there.
So you both have line numbers turned on in your Vim?
Oh, yeah.
Your Vim setup?
Oh, God, okay. Yeah.
I never do that. I don't have line numbers on at all.
That's the way to be.
It's useful with relative number. Just having the line numbers is like line 40 cool. That's
well, even that,
information.
Even that, you can type 40 capital G and that would go to line 40, which is handy too.
Yeah, I didn't like the line numbers turned on because I'm like, I don't want to look, but relative, that sounds really nice.
It's great.
I would do that.
It also makes the grammar of Vim more obvious. Or it's like, it makes it easier to operate on big blocks of text without selecting it first in, like, mm-hmm. visual mode, which is really handy.
Well, I always do, like, I'll always do stuff like, you know, 4J or whatever, like, the number, but I have to, like, basically I'll quickly estimate in my mind how many lines down that is. I'm like, I think that's about a 4. Like, 4J, go! Like, oh, off by 1 or 2, it's okay.
And then we get Rails.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is actually how I end up deleting everything.
Yeah, exactly. Estimation.
Yes, yes. It's sad, but that's exactly what I do. I'm estimating the number of lines. Or I'll use, what is it, uppercase L or M to move
to
you
jump.
To...
Yep, yeah, those are handy too.
Yeah.
Yep. I do a lot of searching, and then I do a lot of that, like HALM. Mm. And now relative number, I do, like, count with J and K.
So one thing that annoys me when I'm using Vim is when you do, like... And my Emacs friends make fun of me for this, is... when you're doing stuff in the, what is that called at the bottom, the command line thing?
Yeah, we'll say
is that the command line?
Command mode.
Command mode. When you're typing stuff in there and you want to edit it, it's typically Emacs keys. So if you're doing like colon S slash something, and you like, oh, I need to go back to the beginning of that, you hit control W.
Tell them those are read line keys and not Emacs keys.
There is a trick to that. If you're in command mode and you want to do VI keys to edit it, mm-hmm. you hit control F, and then you get in this special buffer where you have all your command history, but you can like edit it with VI keys and press enter on any line.
Oh, really? Control F.
Yeah. And control F. That's the same thing that opens up if you hit Q colon.
I've seen that, and I was like, what is this crap?
That's exactly for that. So it's your command history that you can edit as a normal Vim buffer. So it's like, oh, I mistyped that file name, and I want to edit something different. So Q colon, pos back open, there's your history, and you can use Vim's full power to edit that old command.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm like, I kind of recognize this. Is this the government spying on my on my commands in Vim?
Oh, God.
That's what happens. Quit.
If you try to do colon Q to quit, but you do it backwards, that's where you go. That was my very first experience with Vim, is somebody set my editor to that on the machine I was SSHing into. And so I opened up Vim, and I was like, oh, God, what is this? And I hit Control-C, and it says, it like prints on the screen, like, type colon Q
right,
to quit.
Which is one of the awesome
okay,
FUs.
So I tried to type colon Q and messed it up, and hit Q colon, and I got that little window, and I was just like, no, unplug.
So my first experience with Vim was, how do I type? like, what do I do? What do I do? It doesn't work. And then someone was like, I'm reading online. Oh, use Emacs. So I did. I actually used Emacs first. I used Emacs for about 2 days until the rest of my coworkers were like, no, you don't use Emacs.
Also does not let you quit with Control-C. This is like one of those awesome passive-aggressive programmer things, which is like, I typed Control-C, and what you have done is told me, no, type colon quit. Vim, and it says, type colon quit enter to exit Vim. It's like, you knew I wanted to exit, because you're giving me the way to exit, only you wouldn't do it
for
me.
You wouldn't do it,
You made me type this. Emacs has the exact same thing, which is, if you try to exit, and it says, you have unsaved files, do you want to exit anyway? And you type Y, and it responds, type yes or no. And it's like, go f*** yourself, Emacs.
Yeah, yes. I think so Python does the same thing when you're in the REPL. If you try to quit from that, it's like, no, control D. Don't ask me how I know that.
Have you seen Heroku f***ing console?
Yes, absolutely. I thought that
perfect
was amazing.
Perfect response.
Yep.
That's exactly how I feel. That's how we all feel.
Yeah, it is. Why would you give an error message? You know what I want to do.
Exactly.
You know it.
You know.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they do that.
I wish I had a Rails or a Ruby thing I could pull out that does the same thing. But
Tell it. Well,
yeah,
actually, we don't have anything like that. But one thing that does annoy me is how we have, like, when do you use Rails and when do you use Rake? That kills me. I never remember that. I was screwed up. You know what I should do is I'm going to take all the rake commands and put them into the Rails one, and then say, I'll output an error message saying, like, hey, this is Clippy. I see that you're trying to run a rake command.
As long as we're ranting about rake commands, when you do rake-capital T,
mm-hmm.
and it lists some of the commands, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, we used to tell you all the commands, and then we deleted some of the command descriptions, so now you only get some of them. So there are hidden secret rake commands.
That's true. You mean in Rails?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. It's because somebody did not like the aesthetic.
Yeah, I remember seeing the commit from that somebody.
Yeah. They did not like the aesthetic of giving you the information that you might need to do your job. So,
go Google.
Know. Yep.
Or source dive.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Omakasa.
Yes. That's what happened. As soon as the enter is hit on that commit, Omakasa!
There must be an emoji for this. I think it's a middle finger.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. Yes.
Yep. All right. Maybe someday we will know all our Rails commands, our rake commands. Maybe they'll be one and the same.
I don't know. I really don't know. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be good.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's really good. It's good for people who like trivia. So, you know, I'm sure you've met these people. I know you've met these people.
Sure.
They're like, well, actually, it's this command. And you're like, you know what I meant? Yeah.
Like Heroku console.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know it's Heroku console. Come on. Come on. You know it is.
Nah, put run in there. Or it'll make us feel better.
Heroku dash dash help.
All right. Did you mean Heroku dash help? No. Or dash H?
It says, we don't know that command. Run Heroku help for help.
Awesome.
Wait, you read things? Let me tell you, ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right. You got bronchitis.
Yeah, reading. Come on.
All right. I think we should quit while we're hilarious.
Quit while we're in
we
gym.
We should quit before we run out of things to troll other people with.
Quit before we say something useful.
There you go. I almost got to a question that people might, you know, gain something from. And I'm worried about that.
Well, I mean, this is important about the 1 year anniversary of this podcast. You can't teach anybody anything.
That's right.
Come on.
This needs to be
the 1 year anniversary.
Purely a look back, a useless retrospective.
Yes. Purely a waste of time.
Excellent.
But a hilarious one that is pun filled.
And that's why we went to Aaron Patterson. We knew who to ask.
I don't think I qualify for that. Like, I'm not very good at jokes. I don't know if you know this.
I think you did all right.
No. It's just puns. That's all I got here. All
right.
So I'm one more thing about puns.
Okay.
So I'm learning Japanese, right? And my wife is Japanese. So I try to practice. I practice with her when I'm at home, but she's really brutal. Like, if I mess up, she's like, I don't understand. You did it wrong. I don't understand. Try harder.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay.
Sounds like Heroku.
Yes. So I'm like, okay. So what I do to practice is I think about puns all the time. So all I'm doing all day is like thinking about puns, and then I try it, and then she'll either say like, I don't understand, or she'll do this face that's like,
and then you know you nailed it.
Yeah, and then I know I nailed it. Yes. Exactly. Yes. I'm like, yes. I win. Check. Got one.
You win and everyone else loses.
Exactly.
Good thing you wifed her. Can't get away.
I didn't know that was a verb.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite verb. I'm super
You're
into it.
You're locked in now.
Did you mean marry? You know what I meant. Aaron Patterson, damn you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Oh,
I appreciate
a pleasure.
It
always is. Both times.
I hope I didn't ruin this 1 year anniversary podcast.
Well, like, we can always record with somebody else and pretend it happened on the anniversary.
Well, hopefully I said enough words that you can stitch together something that's useful.
That's right. We can go back.
Fix it in post.
That's right. We'll fix it in post. We'll go back to you misinterpreting my art direction commands and shouting them back at me. If all else fails. No, but really, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and good luck on your keynote tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. I should probably finish those slides.
Yes, you should. Okay. If you'd like to access show notes, are we going to have show notes for this? What the hell would we link to?
The puns?
Maybe we link to stuff. Okay, so if you want to access our goofy show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/podcast/52. Today's podcast was recorded and produced by Chad Pytel and edited by Edward Lovell. Thanks for listening.